Welcome this morning. I'm going to continue with Peter on Peter, but I just gave it a bit of a different version. You have to know what was happening weeks before to get it, but it's okay. But tradition says Peter said he was unworthy to be crucified like Jesus, and they crucified him upside down. Peter on Peter, that's where you're headed. And I'm going to speak I'm going to speak from 2 Peter, chapter 3 verse 10, if you want to go there in your Bible in a minute. But this morning, just thinking about hope is the Sunday. Yeah, just keep it there for a minute. Peter's whole text and the message that I'm going to go to is a message of looking forward and looking to what God's promised and what God has in store for us. And I'll share on that in a minute. But as you talk about hope, you know, I was wrestling with it. How do you say something new about hope? We've shared everything we know for the last 50 years about hope. Do we have hope? What is hope? You know, it's that confident expectation of good. We know the definitions. We can share it. But I was thinking about what is the opposite of it? And I came to the conclusion that the opposite, probably the farthest you can go, is hopelessness. But what is that? It's despair. And if you come kind of halfway back, maybe it's discouragement. I don't know, you could fit in a few more words. What's the other side of hope? If that's hope and a God gift, then what's on this side? And it's loss of hope. It's loss of trust in God. You know, Paul says, don't change any screens, but Paul says in Ephesians, he's writing to them, and he says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God. I think that's pretty much a definition of hopelessness, of despair, of lostness. No hope in this world without God. How many can remember back, and that's what I was working on in my heart, you can remember back to the time in your life when you had no hope and you had no God. You think on that. Think, you know, for some of us it's 50 years ago, 1974, whatever years that is, when I met Christ for the first time. I was 15. And I had this picture in my head, I'm not going to do it, but I thought I'd have a 15-year-old and then a 30-year-old and then a 67-year-old picture of my life. But it's too boring, so I didn't do it. But at 15, our life was okay. We had a home. We had a mom and a dad. We lived on the farm. We thought life was normal. But I've shared some of our testimony of the struggle with alcohol in our home, just life itself, growing up in Black Falls. You know, I didn't even know it, but it had the reputation of a rough town, a fighting town. The RCMP, the records, Black Falls was per capita one of the worst towns in that part of the world. And we grew up in that. We thought it was normal. But I just remember this feeling at that time. And a kid asked me in grade 10, it was in grade 10 when I got saved, before my brother came home, shared Jesus. He says, do you believe in God? And it came out of our biology class. And it kind of shook the teacher because one of the guys was challenging him on evolution. In those days, it was a little more open. And he said, well, there's a lot of different beliefs about it. And he didn't fight with this young Christian guy who was challenging evolution as a theory. And my friend leans over to me, and he had nothing to do with church, but he says, do you believe in God? And I had this, it kind of hit me. And I said, no, I don't know. But I know there's a devil. I've seen him. I've lived with him. And it stuck with me. And I just remember when I was preparing, thinking back, I can hardly remember that feeling, that time of no hope and no God. Wondering, what's the point of my life? And literally battling with, I do not want to become that. And I'm talking about alcohol, and I'm talking about the fight, and I'm talking about the emptiness and the ugliness and the mess of it. But I had no answer. I had nothing to fight it. It's like, I know I don't want that, but I don't know what else there is. And then, you know, heard my testimony if you've been around. Brian, my brother, came from university where him and my sisters got saved in the revival center here in Edmonton. And he came home that April, and we're sitting out on the barn and we're just chatting, and he's telling me about his changed life. And I'm looking at this guy. I'm getting emotional here this morning. I don't know why. Maybe I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. That's a joke, because that's what a guy said at camp, and then he had a nervous breakdown. But I don't believe I'm having a nervous breakdown. But I'm just thinking back of the goodness of God when hope came into my life. You go from, I don't know if I hit despair. I don't know where I was in this graph. But it was like, I don't want that. And then light shone. It's the best way I can describe it. Sitting on the roof with my brother. Do you want Jesus? Do you want to be a Christian? I said, yes. He says, well, then you are one. That was 55 years ago or whatever. And it's real. Yeah. And hope comes into your life. Yeah. And so that's my prayer this morning, that we would move wherever you are in this graph of despair, discouragement, whatever. Some are rejoicing. Some are ready for heaven today. Wherever you are in this thing, we can just kind of just move us into hope. Move us into courage. Move us into, not discouraged, courage in God and what's coming, if that's okay. Hope is confident expectation. You've been reading this sign up there before I even got there, but I like that point. Hope is not passive. It stirs affection, your priorities, your obedience. Hope is spiritual. Amen? We often think faith is spiritual, but hope is natural, but hope springs from God himself, and that's the verse that the kids put up, and that's the verse that stuck in my head today, and I just wanted to emphasize, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I was describing as at a 15-year-old, coming in by the power of the Holy Spirit into hope. Man, there's a good life to live. And I remember that summer, sorry if I bore you, but I remember that summer, first time we were allowed to go to church with my brother, we went to family camp. It was out here at Sandy Lake. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm telling you, I had a purpose in my life. I had a zeal, and I told my friends in high school what happened, and they said they weren't that impressed. And I kind of kept it to myself after that. It's hard to explain when something's so real to you, and then you share your friends, and they're just like, are you a freak or what? And it's like this most precious gift in your life, and they don't get it. And they didn't get it. I left high school. I went up to Edmonton to come to Bible school. My friends were looking for me. They come, what's going on? And they drive up here to find me, and I'm saying, well, I'm going to Bible college now. And they start laughing, and they're like, you probably are. And I'm like, I am. And if you can put ice and I don't know what on a conversation, nothing killed it as fast as that. And I just remember their faces in the car, and it's like, you poor sap, as they drove away, never to see them again. It was like, but when something's real for you, you cannot take it away. You know, the devil, he's a liar. He'll come and he'll speak and he'll just bash and he smashes. And there's enough in life going on to suck the hope out of every one of us here this morning. But it's a gift from God by the power of the Holy Spirit. You may abound in hope. And we're not stupid. We're not just faking. Yeah, how are you? I'm great. And no, you're not. We're not like that. But there's this hope. There's this strength in our life. Amen? Faith and hope are inseparable. Just stay on that screen for a second. But I like that. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. And I like this little definition. Cement needs sand to hold to. Faith needs joyful expectation. Amen? Faith needs joy. Faith needs hopeful expectation. It's that evidence of, and hope needs faith's confidence in things to come. So they go together. I like that picture of cement. It needs sand and rock and water. It needs some things to make it real. So hope and faith go together. And they're both supernatural. It's not just faith. That's, you know, we talk, have faith. No, hope is a gift from God that he puts into us. Faith, hope, love. You know, we could preach these things all morning. And I pray this morning that at this season, we watch our little kids singing, our grandkids. And if you could, if there's something I could inject into them, is the hope of God. The God of hope. That they would be slaves of hope. All these are verses that I'm quoting. That the God of all hope. You know, and the other side of that is hope deferred makes the heart sick, you know? It's that waiting time. It's that, that's where we need faith. We need faith to take hold of what's coming and pull that thing into our life today. On our worship evening, we were singing that on the encounter night last week, one of those songs, and I wished I could sing, and I'd sing you silly this morning, but it was just like we pull down heaven. Yeah, sometimes you just got to pull it in. It's like, I'm not seeing heaven right now, but I'm pulling it in. I'm pulling in the promises of God today. Even though I don't see it, that's faith. The evidence of things hoped for. We're going to live in some of that today. We're going to live in some of that expectation today. We're not going to let it all get sucked out of us. We're still got a kid inside of us somehow, waiting for that Christmas, waiting for something, waiting for good. And people say to us, if you've been in ministry at all, why do you keep promising people stuff? Never happens. It's, man, we are the eternal hopeful ones. And if the first guy in the prayer line dies and drops dead, what do? You just say, next, and we pray again. That's all we can do. And we can put our faith in God and trust him, and he's faithful. And you said it all prayer morning, in the prayer time this morning, God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? He's for us. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at Peter, go to that slide. Let's read. Sorry, I haven't even read the scripture yet this morning. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 10, he says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives," amen? "As you look forward," I like this translation because it keeps saying look forward. Other translations say wait, same idea, but I like the looking forward part. "As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward," amen, "to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since we are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." Hallelujah. Those words just keep coming to me, looking forward. Everything's going to be burned. Okay. But we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth. And if there's anything that kind of describes to me hope, it's that looking forward. It's why we talk about it at Christmas, and what, you know, that anticipation of kids. And the part of actually growing up, I didn't enjoy that much. I got cold sores all the time. Let's just open those presents. Let's do something. And I was so I won't say what I was disappointed, because it ruined Christmas and there's children here, but it wasn't a happy day. Peter's writing the second letter to the church who are being persecuted and tempted to fall away. I don't have time, but you know that picture of him hanging upside down on the cross is a good one. It's like when they say they are, you know, these light trials and afflictions, they were being fed to lions. They were being crucified. They're lighting up the streets to Rome with crucifixions. And these light afflictions, Peter and Paul and these other guys talk about, that's the light afflictions he's talking about. Not that pastor didn't shake my hand or he said something I didn't like. His clothes were wrinkly. I don't know. What's your problem this morning? I didn't set out to offend you, but maybe I have already. It's okay. But these guys suffered affliction, and Peter's writing to these guys, false teachers, were telling them, what are you've been talking about this coming forever. Where is he? Where is this coming? There's no coming. And Peter's just saying, guys, hang it. You know, he's challenging them about these false teachers. He's telling them to be careful of their false teaching and the lies that is being spread. And they're starting to believe it, because where's the promise? Where's the reality of it? And to me, that's a thing that's alive today. Oh, yeah. Jesus is coming back. Yes, I've heard that for 55 years. When is it? Where is it? I see nothing's changed. That's exactly what Peter's challenging them with, the lies and the false teachers at the time. If you look at his second letter, you know, he calls them, he wants to refresh them with the truth. We need to be refreshed with the truth. Chapter 1, chapter 2, he's warning of false teachers. Chapter 3, therefore, don't be carried away. He warns them, don't be carried away. Don't allow the spirit of the day, the atmosphere around you, to carry you away. So let's look at his message. His message is simple. Expect his coming with hope. Amen? Are you expecting his coming? And it's okay if you're not just like, it's okay. I'm 67. I don't know if he's coming in my life, but I know he's coming. And that's enough. And I appreciate seniors in this house who have served God a lot longer than me, and they just keep that confident expectation of good. God's in control. God's working out the difficulties. He can handle it. We put our faith in him. We are confident. Don't lose that. That's a gift from God. Prepare your life with holiness. Okay, we could preach this one. Folks, in the day and age we live, what happened in this Bible times is the same thing that's happening here. People lose the revelation. They lose the vision. They lose the passion. They lose what's coming. And they get caught up. They get caught up in the life that's around them. They get caught up in the trials, the pain, the reality. Reality has a way of just kind of closing in sometimes. And we have to fight it back. And we say, no, I'm going to keep hope alive. I'm going to speak hope to my family. Praying with people right this week. You know, trying to encourage mothers with their kids. How real do you want me to get? It's all we can do as parents. I just want to encourage someone here this morning. All we can do as parents is our best. What we know. Ask God to use it. Ask God to help us and to pray for our kids. And we don't know. We are not God. We're not professionals. There's no rule book for this thing. Every child has to decide how they're going to live out their life. They have to choose. they have to step up and make decisions around the Word of God. And as we dedicate little Mackie today and others, we do our best to create an atmosphere, to make our homes, to make a church, to make. But they have to step up. They have to find hope in God themselves. They have to find purpose in their lives themselves. And I don't mean to make light of it, but people have asked my brother and I, we're not, I, just so you know, I'm not a saint and I'm not God, just so you know that. But we've been blessed to do a couple of things for Jesus. And so people say, well, how did you guys become missionaries? Well, you grow up in an alcoholic home. You're not allowed to go to church. You fight every weekend, smash everything in the house most weeks, sleep about 4 hours a night because of the fighting and the partying, and then you grow up and go be a missionary. That's how it works. It's God's grace. It's a gift from God that we have this hope, that He's opened our eyes, that lenses, whatever they're called, fall off your eyeballs, and you see the possibility of what God's doing and the hope. And I'm saying, keep that alive. Keep it alive. Prepare your life with holiness. Grow continually in His grace. All those are sermons. Are you? Are we growing? Are we seeking Him? This is not fear-based living. It's Christ-centered living. Waiting is not passive. I like this. It's a lifestyle of hope, holiness, and growth, shaped by the glory of the One who is coming again. Hallelujah. We are to be on our guards so that we are not carried away by the error of lawless men. It's when I say it's not passive, you don't just sit back. No, you take a hold of it by faith. You pull it into your life. You speak it. You hang with people that believe like you. You encourage one another. That's why we come to the house of God. It's to fire us up. This is the first day of the week. This is how we start our week. And we hit Monday with hope in our hearts, realizing, you know, whoever shared it at the prayer meeting as well, I think it was Jeff, but it's like we worship not just for ourselves, but it touches the ones beside us, encourages them. And when God touches you and God touches someone around you, it's like, yes, there's hope in this thing. We're together in this thing. The promises are true. And we can handle another week, another day, another battle, another challenge, because we have the hope of God in our life. So let's end this thing. Next slide, please. Is your heart orientated toward Christ's return? Or are you absorbed by this world? Big words. What you anticipate determines how you live. And hope is not passive. I already said that. It stirs our hearts. Are you stirred this morning? Brian tried to say it while he was singing here this morning when we were worshiping. You know, why do we put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness? You know, why don't we just come into the house and just sit nice and quiet? And there's a place for that, so don't hear what I'm not saying. Quieting our hearts before God. But there's a place to come in and to stomp on the devil's head. Like Samuel, you know, put your foot on the neck of those kings. Sometimes you got to do stuff. He laid them out there. Every one of them had to come and put their foot on the king's neck. The king who they were fearful of and afraid of and running from. Sometimes come here and put your foot on his neck. You thought this king was something? This king is nothing. Put your foot on it. David said the same thing to Goliath. I love that. That's the spirit of hope. It's like, devil, you are so stupid. You think you can confuse me with rubbish. Look what I have to live on. I'm living on gold. I'm living on the promises of God. I'm living a life over here. I got peace. I got joy. I got life. You come with some crumbs and some misery. I'm not buying into that. I'm not going to get sucked into this world view, absorbed by this world. And it's so easy. My phone's actually vibrating in my pants right while I'm talking. I'm like, what is this? Get off of my phone. Hi, Leonard, you back from your trip? It's like, shut up. Yeah, I'm back from my trip. Thanks. Whoever writes that, I don't even know who it is. We can just get sucked in by this world. And I'm saying, you know, my point was when we come to praise, no. And if you can't even unfold your arms for 1 minute to praise God, then God help you. Because there's something that happens when we put on that garment of praise. And we sing. And we, you know, we sing all of these songs about walls coming down. And it's real. And it's for a spirit of heaviness. You don't need to get in the pit with someone who's in the pit. You need to call them out. And say, come, let's live this life of Jesus. Let's live in hope. Let's worship a living God. And that's what we pray for on a Sunday, that heads would be lifted, hearts would be lifted, people would be encouraged. They'd move from despair, discouragement, over here to hope in a living God. There's hope for this week. There's hope for my kids. There's hope for my life. Going back to parenting, you know, we have 4 kids, all completely different. Some very easy. Some not so easy. I'll leave it up to you to decide who they are. But I was telling a mother this week, it's like we do our best. We do what we can. And then we trust God. And some take till they're 50 to figure it out. That's okay. But we're trusting God. That is for me and my household. We're going to serve God. And if little Johnny has his own story, I've always said it, there's 2 ways to learn. There's the hard way and the harder way. Choose. But God's got a way of this. Anyhow, that's for free. Hope is not passive. Hope is active. It affects our emotions. It affects our life. It affects how we live. Are you expecting good this week? Are you expecting to do not just survive, but be a blessing? Are you expecting to have to give to others? Are you expecting God's favor on your life? I live like that. You say, oh, you're just, yeah, no. You want to know my problems? I'll tell you you'll leave here so depressed, you'll never come back. But God is on the throne. He's alive. And we can look people in the face and tell them, you know, there's hope in God. Trust God. Whatever the circumstance, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through with your family, with your kids, your marriage, your life, your business, your finance, only God has the answer. And that's our hope. And that's our trust. Put up that last slide. I like this verse. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, here's a sermon. This is where we should start this morning. Okay, I'll start right now. Justified through faith. Oh, man, there's enough right there. You should be standing up already. We have peace with God. Hallelujah. Through our Lord Jesus. That's how we get it. Through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, which we now stand. Amen? Are you there? And we boast in the hope of the glory of the Lord. I'm going to ask the band to come, please. This whole morning is about hope. This whole morning is about celebrating the promise of God, expectation of good. And I didn't even spend much time in Peter's letter, but he's just saying, man, we keep looking forward. Though we're suffering, though this world is going to be burned, though there's trials, though there's liars all around us, though he says, we look forward to the promise that God has for us. And I'm challenging, I'm saying to you this morning, you want to have hope, you want to have joy and peace and the love of God, then you're going to have to exercise some faith. You're going to have to put into motion some things. make some changes, make some commitments, make some promises that you're going to stand on and confidently believe God in. Because we don't always live up on the mountain. We come down into the valleys, and we got to remember what God spoke to us up there. And we boast in that hope of the glory of God. I don't boast in my powerful intellect. You know, I know it's intimidating to many of you. You better laugh this morning. But we boast in the glory of God. What God can do to change a life, to change a future, to change us, change our children, change our circumstance. Get us to heaven one day. He who has begun a good work will finish that. We trust him this morning. Amen? So I think we'll just close with one of your good songs, you guys. Lift us to heaven. What you have in your heart. If you would like prayer, you can close later, Drew. If you'd like prayer, we'll be here to pray. But I think we need to go from this place filled with hope. Hope in God. Amen. Let's stand together.